Let's take a minute and prepare our hearts before the Lord. Lord, we ask that you fill this room with your presence, that you would fill our hearts with your presence, that your movements in others throughout this country would be evident in all the corners, and that regardless of location, that we would be connected, that we would feel that same level of fervor, and that we would stand together in unity and enact your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, I am feeling quite inadequate this morning for what I think God has. I suppose you probably have felt inadequate at times for different things that were on your plate or that you were about to do. And that actually is a good feeling, because Scripture says that our adequacy is from God, who makes us adequate. Paul says he makes us adequate as servants. And I remember a hearing in a teaching many, many years ago that when we feel ourselves inadequate, if we can just keep in mind, you know, I'm just a servant. Can you do that? Can you just serve people? Well, yeah, I think I can serve people. So what I believe the Lord has for us this morning is, in the simplest of terms, would be for me to give you Christ, that you would be enraptured with him, that you would find him, that you would feed on him, that you would receive him, be nourished by him, be nourished on him, be nourished with him. And some of what I have this morning is a little unconventional, but that's okay. Variety is a good thing. So I think we're going to do something this morning that is maybe not real common, but that's okay. I hope it all serves, as I say, to help you to encounter Christ and to go deeper with him. This morning is the kickoff message for this year's theme, which you probably know is In Christ. And of all mornings to kick something off, it's Super Bowl morning. So I suppose that's fitting. And as I gave thought and prayer to how to go about doing this, I feel like early in the week, the light bulb went on for me, I think from the Holy Spirit. Of course, this is our banner, which we unveiled last Sunday night. Perhaps you weren't with us, then this is your first time to see it. And I would encourage you at some point later this morning or soon on a Sunday just to come up close and look at the Christ figure depicted on the banner, because it's more than just mere drawing and some different shadowing to portray Christ. When you get close, you see those are actual words in different shades of gray, lighter gray, darker gray. And it is the words of this verse, which is before you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then interspersed between this, the verse that just is getting repeated all through the drawing, are your names. First names only. Don't worry, we're not going to give out too much of your personal information, but hopefully you can find your name. If we apologize if you can't find your name up there. I haven't looked to see if my name's up there. I hope it is. Even if it isn't, I know I'm in Christ. And I'd like to begin this morning by just appealing to anyone who might think that there's a possibility that they might not be in Christ today. Our theme is In Christ, our theme for the year, and we're going to be unpacking, I think is the popular term these days, we're going to be unpacking at least some of, and it's going to take us an entire year, and I guarantee at the end of the year, we will not have exhausted all that it means, all the ramifications for me, for you to be in Christ. There's so much there. But I would encourage you, if you have any doubt as to whether or not you are in Christ this morning, that you would give serious consideration. He is beckoning you to come to Him. He offers you the free gift of Himself. He is, as we just experienced, He is the bread which has come down from heaven to give life to the whole world. And I've experienced that life, and it's been a wonderful journey, beginning the moment that I received Him back on in my freshman year at Ohio State. And I have an eternity with Christ to look forward to, and an exciting journey it's been since that day back in 1973. If you doubt whether or not you are in Christ, I urge you with all that I can manage to urge you with, if that's the right way to say it, to turn to Christ and to receive Him and simply say yes to Him. I believe in you. I receive you and all that you are, what you've done for me. Turning to Him necessitates you turning away from yourself. I'm not suggesting that you cease to be yourself. I'm still Jack as I was pre-November 30, 1973, but turn from self in the sense, turn from you calling the shots in your own life, you being king and lord in your own life, which is, frankly, sin. That's rebellion against God. He's the king. He's the Lord. And you will have an unspeakably blessed life if you would turn from self and turn to Christ and receive Him. Then you'll be in Christ as I am and as many people are here. Having said that, we are going to, as I say, have our kickoff message on this theme in Christ. And, you know, as you look at this theme verse, and this isn't the only scripture that uses the phrase in Christ, of course, we're going to be looking at many of those this year. But a person could look at that verse and go, wow, okay, new creature, that's pretty cool. I think I'm in Christ. And so what does that mean for me? Well, it means I'm a new creature. And do you realize that he's not saying that you were a new creature the day you received Christ and now you're kind of an old new creature? No, I'm still a new creature today, even though it's been, you know, pushing 50 years since I received Christ. I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and wow, there's so much to say about that. I won't start to get into the details of what that might mean. What are these old things that have passed away? I don't know. That's exciting for me to consider the things that have gone away from my life. I know I stopped getting drunk and I stopped doing a lot of bad stuff. I'm not perfect yet. I haven't arrived, but some old things have passed away from me. Some new things, a lot of new things have come. I won't even start a list because we'd be here the rest of the morning, but we can look at that and go, wow, this all seems pretty exciting. And then I'm encouraged to actually behold. It's not just about knowing. It's standing back and embracing and receiving and grasping what it means for me to be in Christ. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. That's an exciting thing. So I would think, okay, if I'm in Christ, what does that mean for me in practical terms? It's going to take the rest of the year for us to get into that. Another way to say it is, what are the benefits of me being in Christ? You become an employee of a company, you join some organization, you sign up for a certain phone plan or whatever, you just wonder, okay, so what are the benefits? What are my benefits? A simpler way to say, just cut to the chase and ask, what do I get out of the deal? Okay, Okay, Jesus, I'm in you. You say I'm in you. That's great. That's wonderful. What does that entail? What do I get out of the deal? And then there's even a more basic way to say this. And when I think of this, I think of a brief interaction I had many, many years ago. I remember that Mark Harger was with me. This is so long ago. This was even before he married Linda and they had a bunch of kids and now they have grandkids. And this was when Mark was single, living with Joan and me. I think you remember this, Mark, because you and I have discussed this several times. Our oldest child at that time was 5 years old. And we now have a five-year-old granddaughter living in our home. So I'm reminded of how fun it is to have a five-year-old girl running around the house being herself and bringing a lot of life to things. And so I just remember that Mark and I were standing in the backyard in the house that we were renting in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I do not remember the context. I don't know what was being said. I had given Annie at that time, we called her Annie. I had given Annie some instruction about something and Mark and I were standing there and she looked up at me with a little quivering lip and moistening eyes. And she said, "But what about me?" And Mark and I looked at each other. Remember that, Mark? Mark and I looked at each other and we just thought, how human. I mean, that just sums up how all of us think. Now, we know enough, don't we, to not actually blurt that out in public, in social situations. But that's our tendency, isn't it? What about me? What do I get out of this deal? How does this help me? How does it benefit me? What about me? Well, putting self first is normal, natural, and human. It's just part of being human. And those of us who've had children, we understand that's in our nature as human beings. But at some point, you start to teach the child, right? When the cookies are brought out at the neighbor's house or the relative's house, you don't just run up and shove both fists into the cookie bowl and get how many you want and run away. No, you step back and you consider, okay, there's another way I need to orient myself. It's just not all about me, even though that's a normal reaction. It reflects a certain immaturity, doesn't it? To simply go to as a default, well, what do I get about out of this? What about me? And so if I could boil down into one statement, the message today is that we must begin a consideration of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ by looking first at Him. See, we're not going to get into us today, because we want to orient ourselves to Christ. So the title of the message is Learning to Learn Christ. I'm going to go to a place in Scripture where that phrase, learn Christ, is used. Learning to learn Christ, the prerequisite to grasping who I am and what I have in Him. Again, it's going to take the entire year for us to unpack that. But first, even before we get into how does this affect me, we must consider Christ and learn Him. The first words of the Bible, right? In the beginning, God. So we start with God. When we lived in Poland, we would have short-term mission teams come from the U.S. to stay for a couple of weeks, and they usually were college students that helped us put on these English clubs. And during these clubs, we would help young Polish kids improve their English, and we would use the Bible as a part of our lesson plan and so on. And that it really took a lot of work, and it really took it out of you to organize these classes, and we really appreciate the people that came to help. And we would usually have a free day sandwiched in all of the classes. We'd say, okay, team, we're going to just take a day, and we're going to just do some sightseeing in Poland, and we're going to go to the medieval city of Torun, which is the hometown of Copernicus. Invariably, one of the students would say, "Who was Copernicus?" And I would smile and say, "He's the guy who figured out that the world doesn't revolve around you." He was an astronomer in the early 16th century who discovered the heliocentric model, that The universe doesn't revolve around planet Earth. You know, for centuries, that's what human beings thought, that everything revolves around me. Well, no, actually not. Copernicus figured out that the planets revolve around the sun. Anyway, that was always a fun thing for me to say. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So we start and we orient ourselves around Christ. I remember hearing this many years ago in a teaching. It says, this statement, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself. And I thought, well, that's clever. That sounds really spiritual, but I don't think it's true. Because this is where the Buddhists really go off the rails. A good Buddhist will endeavor to kind of get out of his own mind, to just wipe his brain, his mind completely, just an empty slate. There's nothing there so that he can somehow become one with the universe. And that attempt to get away from self is futile, and we shouldn't think that that's what God wants. Yes, God wants us to put him above us, to put others above us. So, but it's not wrong for you and me to when we consider this phrase, this theme, in Christ, it's not wrong for us to wonder what's in it for me, but we need to learn to orient ourselves to Christ. So what's the biblical basis for this? Ephesians chapter 4, and as you know, context is everything. And I'm going to begin reading, and I'm going to show you starting in verse 17, but I want to refer to the earlier context. Paul here is talking about the fact that gifts have been given in the body of Christ to equip all the members of the body. Verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God's will is for every member of the body to mature, to grow up, to get to a point where we are resembling Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. In different words, he's saying the same thing again. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Again, God's will is for you and I to become fully grown, fully mature Christ followers. And then in verse 17, he says, so this I say, and the word so is not there for nothing. It's there for a very important reason. In light of what he's already said, in light of the fact that it is God's will for you and me to grow up fully, Paul's saying, okay, now in light of that, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say something. This I say, and by the way, God agrees with me and I agree with God. We're both together on this. I affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. To walk means to conduct your life, to live your life, no longer as the unbelievers walk, because all unbelievers have to go on is just in the futile things that are in their mind as a result of the culture or their own corrupted sin nature that puts all kind of cockamamie ideas in their head about what's right, what's wrong, how they should live. That's futility. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I wish I had time to develop this passage, but there's a lot there, but we have more to get to. So I just want you to see that in light of the fact that God wants us to grow up spiritually, he says in verse 20, referring to not walking as the Gentiles walk, he says in verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. And I want to just kind of highlight that phrase because that's part of our title for today's message. You did not learn Christ in this way. I want to exhort us today to learn Christ. To learn Christ. Notice I did not say to learn about Christ. I've been a part of Bible studies where people get together and they say, Lord, thank you that we can come together and just learn more about you. As if, sounds like I'm picking on people's prayers. I appreciate their heart, but look, it's more than just I'm gaining information about God. I'm just collecting data about God. What if I said to you, well, hey, that's something new for me. This isn't true, but I could say this to you. This new year, I have something new I'm doing. I'm learning the piano. Great. You'd get the idea that maybe I'm taking piano lessons and I sit down and I plink around and I'm understanding music theory and I'm really getting into it versus saying, hey, did you know I'm learning about the piano? Then you'd think, well, okay, you're going to a seminar that tells you about pianos or something. Isn't there a difference between learning Christ and learning about Christ? Paul says, you did not learn Christ in this way. And this is my focus this morning, is that we're going to do an exercise here shortly that I hope will help you to learn Christ more fully. But you did not learn Christ in this way, he said, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Doesn't that sound like 2 Corinthians 5:17? Old things have passed away, new things have come. Paul gets into talking about how the truth of Christ plays out in our lives, but first he refers to this all-important idea of learning Christ and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Again, wow, it just really feels a lot like 2 Corinthians 5:17. So learning to learn Christ, the prerequisite to grasping who I am and what I have in him. Okay, you want to know, hey, what does this mean for me? What are the bennies? You know, what are the good things that I have because I'm in Christ? Have we got a deal for you? I'm telling you, you come on Sundays in 2023 and your socks are going to, you're going to walk out without any socks because they got blessed off. You're not going to have any socks. So just be prepared, buy some extra socks. If I am in Christ, what does that mean for me in practical terms? That's what we normally would ask. What are the benefits? What do I get out of the deal? What about me? Those are not bad questions. They're just premature. And it's important for us, if I'm in Christ, it's important for us to answer this question. Who and or what is that Christ in whom I am? I realize that's a little clumsy way to say it, but I think it's a grammatically accurate way to say it. Who and or what is that Christ in whom I am? I was working with my group of guys. I have a disciple group that I meet with Tuesday nights. And so in preparation for that, we're considering this idea of Jesus, the Son of God, and who he is and what he is. So what did I do? I went online. It's what you do when you want to know something, right? And I found this list of 50 names and titles of Jesus. Wow, 50? No kidding. And I brought that to our group meeting. Before I passed it out, I said, hey guys, let's just talk about what can you, just from memory, what are some of the names of Jesus? And so we started throwing some things out. I wrote it on a whiteboard. And wouldn't you know, we came up with things that weren't on that list of 50. And then after our group meeting was over, I went home a few days later and I added to it. And I now have a list of 118 names, titles, and descriptors of Jesus. You go, whoa, 118? Really? Yeah, really. And so fasten your seatbelt. No, we're not going to go through this too quickly, because even if we go through it slowly, I know how you're going to feel like you're trying to get a drink of water from a fire hydrant, right? It's just so much. But I want you to appreciate the scope. You see, these 118 are also inadequate. There are more descriptors of Christ in the Bible, I'm sure. But what I'd like to do now is for you and me, I was considering having you stand up, but you're going to get tired standing, so I'm going to let you stay seated. You might want to kind of stretch and kind of get ready for this exercise, because this is going to take some deep breaths. I think it's good for you to hear yourself say these things and for you to hear other people making these statements about Jesus, who he is, what he is, and what he has done. So I hope this is a blessing to you. By the way, I have hard copies of these 118. If you'd like one, I'm happy to share it with you. Or if you'd like me to send it to you electronically, please let me know. Text me, send me an email. I'm happy to share it with you. Again, why are we doing this? Paul said, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him. Not heard of him. It's not just information. It's not just data. I want you to hear Christ. As we read these titles and descriptors and names of Jesus, I pray you'd hear the Holy Spirit, whose ministry it is to glorify Christ in your heart and mind. Will you hear him? You did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and been taught in him. I want to not just give you information. I want to teach you in Christ during this time. So who and or what is that Christ in whom I am? Say it with me. He is the Christ who is the able Savior. Now, just we're not going to say the verse references. So we're all on the same page here. We're just going to read the one-liners without the verse references, or we'd be here past quitting time. Let's start again. The able Savior, our advocate, the Almighty, he who always lives to make intercession, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Christ who is the apostle and high priest of our confession, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the bright morning star, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone. The Christ in whom I am is the chief shepherd, the Christ, the coming one who will not delay, the day star, the door of the sheep, the endurer of the cross, the endurer of the hostility of sinners. He is the Christ who is everlasting Father, the exact representation of God's nature, the exalted above the heavens high priest, the fairest of 10,000, faithful and true, a faithful high priest, the faithful witness. The Christ in whom I am is, need to take a breath. All right, let's keep going. The first and the last, the firstborn of the dead, the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn among many brethren, a friend of sinners, giver of himself for our sins. He is the Christ who is God, God's beloved Son, God's holy servant, God's Son from heaven, the good shepherd, a great high priest, the great shepherd of the sheep. The Christ in whom I am is the hater of lawlessness, head of the body, head over all things, heir of all things, holder of a permanent priesthood, a holy high priest, the inaugurator of a new and living way. He is the Christ who is an innocent high priest, an undefiled high priest, a separated from sinners high priest, a high priest who does not need daily to offer up sacrifices because this he did once for all. That's a mouthful, isn't it? A high priest of the good things to come, the Holy One of God, the Christ in whom I am, our hope, I am, the inheritor of a more excellent name than the angels, Emmanuel, God's indescribable gift, he who is ready to judge the living and the dead, King of kings, he is the Christ who is the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord, Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts. The Christ in whom I am is the lover of my soul, the lover of righteousness, the one mediator between God and man, a merciful high priest, the Messiah, mighty God, the obtainer of eternal redemption. He is the Christ who is the once offered sacrifice, the mighty one of Jacob, our minister in the true tabernacle, the one in whom all things were created, the one through whom all things were created, the one for whom all things were created. The Christ in whom I am is the one in whom all things hold together, the one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, the only begotten Son of God, the only begotten from the Father, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, our peace. He is the Christ who is a priest forever, Prince of Peace, the propitiation for our sins, quencher of our thirst, the radiance of God's glory, the ransom for sinners, Redeemer. We're only through the R's. Do you have any voice left? Let's keep going. The Christ in whom I am is our rescuer from the wrath to come, the restorer of my soul, the resurrection and the life, the risen Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Christ who is Savior, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, especially of believers, the Son of God, the Son who learned obedience from the things which he suffered, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High. The Christ in whom I am is the Son who sets you free, the spiritual rock, the sufferer outside the gate, the way, the word, the true vine, the truth. He is the Christ who is the victorious warrior, wonderful counselor, and Zion's God-installed king. Wow. Wow. I don't know how you're feeling right now. Some of you feel, whoa, this is just too much. I just feel hit with a big wave. Maybe you feel like you walked into the big banquet last and you saw all this food and you're like, oh man, that's how am I going to tackle this? This is just too much. And I would encourage you to push away any sense of this is over my head. I can't absorb it. If you had a big meal spread before you and knew you had all kinds of time to eat it, hopefully you wouldn't stress out about, oh, there's so much to eat here. How am I going to get it all eaten? You know? Hopefully you'd pick one thing and you'd go, wow, here I am. Thanksgiving dinner. And well, I like cranberry salad. I'm going to have a little cranberry salad, but I got to hurry up and get this eaten because I see there's more. There's sweet potato pie over there. And there's whatever you have at Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to savor the cranberry salad. I want to encourage you to savor Christ. I had an experience this last week where you may recall some weeks ago I made available a list called the Believer's Identity, and there were 52 different statements about who you and I are in Christ and accompanying scriptures, and I've been using that in my personal devotional time for the last 3 months. It's been very, very, very rich for me. But I had an experience this last week where I was, I knew I was going to be having what could have been a very tough phone conversation with someone that I have known and loved for many, many years. And I knew that there was the chance that something could be risked, that our relationship could fracture. And I had some anxiety about it. And I remembered having recently in my devotional time gone through, and it's also by, you notice this was by alphabetical order. And so the Believer's Identity, the alphabetical order down, when you get to S, I'm a sheep. Okay, that means that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And I latched onto that truth. And I said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to go. You know I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. The prospect of fracturing a relationship that has lasted for over 40 years. I love this person. I don't want this to happen. I'm really concerned. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, listen, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's going to guide you. You're just a sheep. Just follow. Just follow. It'll be fine. Your shepherd is guiding you. And Joan and I went on a walk, and I shared with her that I had some anxiety, but the Lord had ministered to me through that one truth. Did you notice in the G's, one of the things we read, he's the good shepherd, John 10:28. And I just let that percolate down. I just let that wash over me for several days. It really ministered to me. It really helped me. There's a country song. I say that to my wife sometimes. A situation will come up and I'll say, there's a country song about that. By the way, I'm not endorsing all country songs. Many of them are worthless and vile, but some of them are, there's some redeeming value in them. But there's a country song which says, life is a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. You might go, oh, there's so many aspects of those 118 things that just, I'm short-circuited. That's all beyond me. Don't let that paralyze you. Instead, grab on to one thing or two things and feed on Christ. Learn Christ. If it's that he's the good shepherd, take time. If it takes a week or two, and just let that sink deep down inside your innards, wherever, whatever that means, I don't know. Let it envelop you so that you are really learning Christ. Now, I'm going to do something else here. I told you this was unconventional. And reading together 118 things, that's pretty unconventional. I'm going to go through this list again. I'm not going to make you read it again. This time, only I'm going to read it. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to, as I read this, just be in a posture where you're saying to the Lord, Lord, what is the one thing about you, Lord Jesus, that you want me to grasp onto? What part of you? Jesus said, I, my flesh is true food. He's the bread that come down from heaven to give life to the whole world. He's here today to nourish you. What part of him do you need to eat today? And what I'd like you to do is just kind of have your spiritual radar up. I hope this doesn't sound too, weird. I don't know. But just say, Lord, what is the one thing? And then when I get to that, try to block out the rest of what I'm saying and just camp on that. Maybe get out your phone, write it down in your phone. If you have a pen, write it down. Make a mental note and say, Lord, I want to grab on to you. And I want to learn this aspect of you. So I'm going to read these again. Again, I'm just going to read these myself. And I am trusting the Holy Spirit to help you grab the one or maybe two things that God wants you to focus on about his son. He is the Christ who is the able Savior, our advocate, the Almighty, he who always lives to make intercession, the Alpha and Omega, the apostle and high priest of our confession, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the bright morning star, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, the Christ, the coming one who will not delay, the day star, the door of the sheep, the endurer of the cross, the endurer of the hostility of sinners, everlasting Father, the exact representation of God's nature, and exalted above the heavens, high priest, the fairest of 10,000, faithful and true, a faithful high priest, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the firstborn of the dead, the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn among many brethren, a friend of sinners, giver of himself for our sins, God, God's beloved Son, God's holy servant, God's Son from heaven, the Good Shepherd, a great high priest, the great shepherd of the sheep, the hater of lawlessness, head of the body, head over all things, heir of all things, holder of a permanent priesthood, a holy high priest, the inaugurator of a new and living way, an innocent high priest, an undefiled high priest, a separated from sinners high priest, the high priest who does not need daily to offer up sacrifices because this he did once for all. A high priest of the good things to come, the Holy One of God, our hope, I am, the inheritor of a more excellent name than the angels, Emmanuel, God's indescribable gift, he who is ready to judge the living and the dead, King of kings, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord, Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts, the lover of my soul, the lover of righteousness, the one mediator between God and man, a merciful high priest, the Messiah, mighty God, the obtainer of eternal redemption, the once offered sacrifice, the mighty one of Jacob, our minister in the true tabernacle, the one in whom all things were created, the one through whom all things were created, the one for whom all things were created, the one in whom all things hold together, the one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, the only begotten Son of God, the only begotten from the Father, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, our peace, a priest forever, Prince of Peace, the propitiation for our sins, quencher of our thirst, the radiance of God's glory, the ransom for sinners, Redeemer, our rescuer from the wrath to come, the restorer of my soul, the resurrection and the life, the risen Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Savior, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, especially of believers, the Son of God, the Son who learned obedience from the things which he suffered, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High, the Son who sets you free, the spiritual rock, the sufferer outside the gate, the way, the word, the true vine, the truth, the victorious warrior, wonderful counselor, and Zion's God-installed king. Before we close, one last thing I'd like to do, and again, in the spirit of unconventionality, I don't know if that's a word or not, unconventionalness, I just would like to open it up to the floor. Let's say maybe, let's have two people. And I didn't prep anybody. I didn't let anybody know, hey, be ready to stand up when I say da da da. No. If you feel like, wow, God really helped me to grasp onto this certain aspect, and I know the Holy Spirit just has this for me, and it really meets me where I am, can you take 60 seconds and just share that with us? Anyone willing to share? Destiny, go ahead. Good. Thanks, Destiny. One more. Mark, go ahead. Amen. Good. Thank you. By the way, I would encourage you at some point this week to whatever aspect of Christ really hits you the most, look for an opportunity to share that with another person. It will help to kind of drive it down more deeply into your own heart and mind, not to mention the fact that it will bless the person that you share it with. So that's what I had to share today. Do we have some announcements here? We do. And while Ashley's coming up, I know I have at least one or several. We will be having a Prayer for the Nations prayer meeting tonight here at 7. That will be on Zoom. By the way, if you can't make it physically to this place, we'll be on Zoom from 7 to 8. And you're probably aware, if you listen to the news, you're probably aware of this earthquake in Turkey. And I think the last time I heard the death toll was around 21,000. I don't know if it's gone up from there or not. It has. Okay. It's, what's that? 29,000. Okay. And it may go up. But something I learned this week is that the government of Turkey has opened the country to Christian aid workers. See, up to now, they've not been open to that for their various needs, but now they're in dire straits, and there's a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. So I want to encourage you, if you're planning to come to the prayer meeting tonight, I need you to do two things. Number one, I want you to send me a text that says PNR, Prayer for the Nations. And what I'm going to do is, because we want to maximize, we've got 60 minutes tonight. We keep it a tight hour, and we storm the throne for 60 minutes. We don't like to dilly-dally and chit-chat about stuff. We like to get right to it. So I would like to, before that meeting, send you a four-minute audio clip so you can hear about what's going on in Turkey and about how they have opened themselves to Christian aid workers so that we don't have to talk about it when you get to the meeting. Then there's a hard copy on your way out on the table below the bulletin board having to do with an update from Ukraine. My good friend Timmy Powers keeps me updated with email. So please take that. That way, again, we won't have to take time to read it and get oriented. You'll be ready to go as soon as you walk in the door at 7. So, yeah, I think that's what I had.
When Dennis Henry passed away, he was administering our prayer requests and sending those out over email. And we took some time just to wait and see how we would restart that. And so we're restarting that today. Ginger Dybul has volunteered, and I believe Sharon has volunteered to help her to take over the prayer requests emails. So if you want to send your prayer requests today to prayer@newsong.family, we would love to pray for you this week. And I would encourage you to do that. This is part of our community as a family. That we can lean on one another and pray for one another as we lean on the Lord together. So please let us bless you by praying for you. Please share your prayer requests with us. And those will go out on Mondays now. And details are all on the website under the announcements there as well. You can also write it on a prayer card in the back there. Also, today's the deadline for the prison ministry outreach registration. Jeff told me that it was full, but then he was able to get in somehow this week. So I don't know if they're accepting more folks, but this is the last day for registration for that. And then this Saturday, Jeff and Lale are going to host a game night here. So if you'd like to come out and have some good fellowship, 6:30 this Saturday night will be game night here at the church.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask that throughout this year, you would help us to learn you and know you more, that we would hear your words, that we would understand your teachings as a friend, as if you were here with us now. We would hear and respond to your call. We would hear and respond to your words. We also ask that you would be with those in Turkey who are suffering, that you would provide a way for people to go and show your love to them. And we thank you for all that you've provided us and continue to provide us. We pray that we would go forth understanding more about your titles and your names and who you are, and that we would showcase those aspects of you through our actions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the benediction, the last verse of the book of Galatians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen.